Blog Talk Radio.
Watching you as you're dreaming, the dreams I thought I knew. Your smile shows the reason I watched it all come true. Your touch is cold and distant,
everyone. That beautiful song that you just heard is written by Jay Hatter, my co-host, and the singer and writer of the music that went with that is Shout Even Shy. And between Hatter's words and Shout's voice and music, that has become a mega hit favorite around here. And speaking of Jay Hatter, hey Hatter, this is Deborah Lee, and you are listening to A Team of Voices Radio. We are a poetry group, chat group, that hangs at allpoetry.com, one of the biggest sites on the planet, and you can join for free. If you join, or if you're already a member, you can find us under the group tab, A Team of Voices. Just knock, and I'll meet you there. We meet many times a week with different hosts, different topics. Look forward to seeing you there. And in the meantime, I have some people waiting in the studio, so let me just shoot right over there. I have, affectionately known as our dynamic duo, Stephen and Kay from A Poetic Slice of Life. Hey guys, welcome to the show. Glad you're here. And right behind the two of them, we have Mr. David Prophet. Hey, Dave.
Hey, Deb. How
glad
are
you're
you?
Here. I'm hanging
Thank
in
you.
There.
I'm
How
glad
are you?
I am. Oh, not bad, not bad.
And right behind David is Mr. Wayne Gent. Hey, Wayne, welcome to the show.
Hello, how are you gentlemen and ladies doing?
Glad you're here. Glad you're feeling
Good
better.
Hey, Deborah.
Yes?
I got to reboot my phone. I don't have the internet. It went out.
Okay.
So I'll reboot. I'll come back. Okay.
Okay. Before we kick into gear real quick, I just want to say a belated happy birthday, Joy, and feel better, pretty bird. Okay, here we go. I have quite a few poems sitting there waiting for us because I have two combined topics. There was a few poems from an artist a couple weeks ago, and then tonight's topic, which is the James Webb Space Telescope, and I don't know if the listeners have seen any of the pictures, but it's taking some really amazing shots. So I put some choices on the board, and I know because I hang out with these guys a lot that you're about to get a treat because you are going to hear some brilliant poets. Now, what I think I'll do is I have the couple that are from a couple weeks ago. So I'm going to do those and then go into tonight. So it'll be Stephen K. Wayne, Stephen K., and then however we go from there. Because I like to let them get done because they've been on the radio all night at the Mortuary of Shadows. And with that being said, I'm heading over to, as we have become accustomed, 95% of the time, we kick off the show with Kay, the owner of Poetic Slice, and I am babbling because I can't, there it is, okay, there is my chat room. Kay, take us away, please.
Okay. I call smoke to stairs, and shadows, food in the roses. The meadow is a one-time pair to Bear Lake and summer liaison. The hills, mountains, greenery, clean. In the flesh. Snapshot of sepia, a stained gray shirt no longer white. They step upon the pebbles and water. Cords of tow-headed to sun-bleached tangibles, touchable. The colors to their senses, whitewashed. A taste on the tip of the tongue and the flickers of eye. Vestiges of collisions of the street where the glitter closes and exposed to embrace and weightless tumbleweeds of garnet rushes pulsating. And
wow. You know, the art all through this is awesome. I really like the one in the middle with the where they're hugging each other and the heart. Back to the poem.
Mm-hmm.
See? Sidetracked me there, but I like the in the meadows of unkempt hair and bare legs and summer liaisons, the hills, twixt mountains, greenery, clean. That feels image filled, but it also feels love because of that kickback, bare legs. I mean, I like the laid-back feel there. And the dandelions to summer pulp, really great metaphor and image. A taste on the tip of the tongue in the flickering of an eye with vestiges of collisions. I think we say this to you every week, Kay, but you have such a way with words and your metaphors always – I'm always like, damn, like the dandelions to summer pulp, I'm in love with the opening line specifically, from the meadows to the summer liaisons. But I think this is a gorgeous piece all the way through, and I thank you for your brilliance. And let me get you some comments. Wayne, what did you think?
I thought this was amazing. I'm still writing a comment. It's great. I like always, when it started out in the medals, I've been compared to bare legs and the samurai Asians. It's a great way to start out to get attention. And all the things just good. It's just one phrase after another. It's cool. I like it a whole lot. And I just started my comment now because I read it over again. Great job, Kay.
Thanks, Kay.
Awesome comment. And David, please. David, are you muted?
Yes, I am. I apologize. I thought this was a gorgeous poem. It reminded me so much of some of the woods and the scenery that I have around my house here. I agree with you on the opening line here, Deb. It says in the meadows of unkempt hair to bare legs and summer liaisons, the hills twixt mountains greenery clean. that's pretty neat. That's a neat opening pair of lines there. I get the feeling that this is really a nice, relaxed scene that Kay set up here for us to see. And it pulls you right into the picture, which is good. You know, I think a poem should do that. It should draw the reader right in and keep them there and not having their mind wander on anything else except what's right in front of them. And Kay's work manages to do that all the time, and I'm envious of her for that. She's really good at it. So this is a beautiful poem, and I like
fantastic comment. And Stephen, will you comment on this one while I go get yours from 2 weeks ago, please?
Yeah, well, I like this too because to me, you know, a couple of weeks ago we went to dinner and then we went down to the beach, and some of this makes me think of that when you're talking about stepping on the pebbles in the water, because, you know, I did take my shoes off and kind of waded into the water a little bit for the first time, you know, actually being in Lake Erie in quite a long time. But, you know, there's also some of our younger days together in this as well, I thought. And it's a beautiful piece. I love the wording. As always, and yeah, it's amazing. As always.
There's that giggle. Fantastic comment, and thank you very much, Kay. And Stephen, yours is on the board, so take us away. And hi, Angel.
All right. I'll have to say that this this particular artist, it gave me a hard time trying to figure out which one to write to.
Mm-hmm.
And then when I finally chose this one, I wasn't sure which direction to go. I was thinking about going with those murder hornets that we were reading about not too long ago. Kind of where I went with this. I call it Invisible Stinger of Soft Flower Singer. A stinging machete is now misunderstood while flitting from red rose to blue. Wings buzzing under cinnamon heat, gathering nectar from anther so sweet. But twiddling arms and confusing daft dance come from squeals in an EpiPen stance. Sunscreen and hairspray making alluring scent, honeydew attractant with jasmine accent. Pining large mammal won't call Max's blave, bringing the meat of a Dickens raw stave. Donning the kill, 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 mom, mom, mom mask, tabbing unveiled anomalous fact. Viewed as hostile but instinct to blame, dandelion deems his decorum as tame. Daffodil chuckles at a lope that's insane. Bumblebee has no stinger for pain. End poem.
That was awesome. And it's a good thing that I was muted because I literally went from quiet to a outburst laugh with the sound effect from like the ha 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 from the, you know. Kill mom, 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 mass. I mean, this was really, really cool. And I really knew it was going to be hard for you to choose for this one. I think there was Star Wars. There was the horror stuff. There was Batman. I mean, I don't intentionally mean to make it hard, but I kind of do type of thing because I figure it's more inspiring that way. So I'm glad that you said that. And I love this poem of stinging machetes now misunderstood. I was like, oh, this is cool. which reminds me, I love, love, love the title, Invisible Stinger of Soft Flower Singer. It's a little rhyme all on its own, and I thought that was impressive. And where is that? Viewed as the hostile but instincts to blame, Dandelion deems the decorum as tame. There's something so cool about that. I think I haven't said this in a while, Stephen, but you have turned into this amazing poet that I can't wait to, not that, sometimes I don't say that because I never know how somebody's going to take it. So are you telling me I was crap before type of, you know what I mean? Because you never know, but I was always a fan. I mean, I think the first time I found you was from a front page pick, if I'm not mistaken, that you didn't know existed. Or trending, that's what it was, trending, I believe. Anyway, now I can't wait to see what you bring. Everybody in the room, I mean, it's just incredible and impressive, and I've noticed, so I figure I would say something. Not that I need to, because, like, you have a 10 folder with over 400 poems in it, and you know, you just bring it all the time, and I really got a kick out of this. Thank you so much. Hatter, what you think?
Yeah, you know, both Stephen and Kay, it's like they don't have any ambitions anymore. They don't worry. They're not timid. They're using metaphors or creating lines, which is definitely a comfort zone. And, yeah, they both have just increased their poetry skills quite a bit. Quite a bit. I love the picture. Yeah, hornets. Hornets, the enemy of the honeybee until they met the Africanized. They sort of evened the odds a little bit.
That's true.
Great comment. And David?
This was great. I really liked it. I thought it was interesting. I love the way Stephen. I love his takes on everything, just about. It wouldn't surprise me if Stephen and Kay talked to each other at home in rhyme and verse and in poetry instead of just normal conversation, because the way their stuff comes out is amazing. But anyway, I like this third line in the third stanza. Donning the kill, 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 mom mask, tabbed on, veiled, anomalous fact, viewed as hostile but instinct to blame, dandelions deem this decorum as tame. That's a cool line. I like that. Daffodils chuckles at the lope that's insane. Butch Bumblebee has no stinger for pain. Yeah, it's a really cool poem, Stephen. You did good on this, man. I liked it. It was fun. Really fun.
Great comment, David. And I'm going to switch it up a little bit because Wayne's the other person who has one from here, so I'm going to hold off on him for a minute, and I'm going to have Kay comment on her hubby.
Well, yeah. You know, I think the picture itself is pretty cool. It's an edge of the bee. They ask you, is he a king bee? John Belushi thing.
Yeah, king bee, baby.
Yeah.
Be my queen.
That was cute. Thank you very much. And Wayne, before you read your poem from 2 weeks ago, will you please comment for Stephen?
Yes, this poem's got me buzzing. It's funny as hell. It's got great phrases in it. Good job tying them all together. Wonderful rhyme. It's an amazing story. Every line is a work of art, and every single line is that you read it, and it's amazing. Great job, Steve. That's one of my favorites.
Thanks, Wayne. Appreciate
it. Fantastic comment. And I didn't mean read it. I forgot. Of course, I have your SoundCloud downloaded.
Well, hey, you're there for a minute.
And thank you, Stephen. And if you guys click on Wayne's poem, I will play on his recording. Everyone see it?
Yeah.
Okay, and here we go.
He
is called Child with the Wild. Lavender lobster lady wearing linen and lace, frogs, birds, and butterflies all around her face, kingfisher on head, blue jay looking at the eye, etched and embroidered, sits monarch butterfly, peach-faced girl looking raspberry sweet, chirp conversation with pistachio parakeet, bullfrogs with tadpoles, circle with eels, long-haired pucker girl with wildlife wheels. In.
It's a music game.
That was so cool. I love that you mentioned the monarch butterfly in there. But Wayne, your voice was so somber that it was like it felt like a longer poem than two stanzas, because you poured emotion into it. So we were like hanging on the words. Kingfisher on head, blue jay looking into eye, etched and embroidered sits monarch butterfly, and I'm back to that line. But I love that etched and embroidered. Etched and embroidered sits monarch butterfly. Really, really awesome. And your rhyme and flow here is incredible. And eels. I don't know how many poems I've heard with eels in them. So it was a little treat in your two stanzas. Impressive.
Thank you.
Heather, what do you think?
Yeah, I don't know if that's a disturbing picture or not.
Crazy.
I agree with you. Wayne's voice slowed down. It gives us a chance to absorb everything he's written. Did a good job describing the picture. I thought that was great.
Thank you.
Awesome comment. And Dave?
Oh, I like this a lot. This was really nice. Some of Wayne's stuff almost turns into tongue twisters once in a while, like that first line. Lavender lobster lady wearing linen and lace. Little run on the L's there. Frogs, birds, and butterflies all around her face. I thought he did a real good job of setting up the picture in the first stanza there. That's really neat. I like the way you worded it. And then the second stanza takes us out of the picture there. A peach-faced girl looking raspberry sweet, conversations with pistachio parakeet. That's cool. Pistachio parakeet. That's really neat. I like that. Bullfrogs with tadpoles, circle with eels, long-haired puckered girl with wildlife wheels. That's good. That's an excellent poem. Wayne, your rhyme and meter is perfect. And so is the storytelling. Well done, man. Well done.
Thank you, man. I appreciate it.
Fantastic comment. And Stephen, please.
Yeah. There really are blue lobsters, and I hear they taste like blueberries dipped in butter. But I thought this was a wonderful use of alliteration and the word bank to describe that painting. And it's a 10 to boot. Yeah, it's an awesome brevity, Wayne. Very well done.
Thank you, Wayne. Thank you.
Fantastic comment. And Kay, will you please comment for Wayne? And then we will kick off the show on the telescope topic with your poem, please.
Okay. Yeah. I like the prompt that you picked, because there's a lot going on. A girl with a lot of different creatures surrounding her. So I like how you speak about the lavender lobster lady wearing linen and lace. Peach-faced girl looking raspberry sweet. There's definitely a lot of identity and character to the picture, but also adding its own life to it. It speaks identity. Her love of creatures that flock to her, as I see it. It's a wonderful race.
Thank you much, Kay. Appreciate that, man. Thank you.
Pistachio parakeet sounds delicious, too.
Yeah. Awesome comments, everyone. Thank you very much. And great poems. Kay, kick us off on the next topic, please.
Nicholas, sacred to the bone and the vines of cedars and narrow. The shame in its lovely state of storehouse to roll through, that pierce of compromise flow. Nostalgic spiraling, face in the slow quicks, lightning close to me in yellow haze of porcelain whispers. Brain in the texture, city in the pocket of glass walked on, yet my feet are clean, not bloodied. What lies in your hands is suffocation. Dark waves cloak eyes as the mirror shines and illuminations gleaming. Red triangles to rose petals littered on blood-soaked carpet. The petals, stitched in hands of veins true, final gauges of galvanized ghosts, and flissies, zeros, emeralds, and portfolios to architecture. Washed in stains and high-class cutouts, rakishly fleck. The 84th station of laurels, and Bevan, help, and then
galvanized goads. Holy cow. Okay, let me back up some. Wow, okay. Sacred to the bone and the vines of cedar's marrow. Vicious. For some reason, the thought of the marrow, you know, getting down to it. Holy cow. Starting off right there, a shame in its lovely state of storehouse inkwells to rove through. A pierce of compromise, a pierce of compromise. I can see the ink, but I can like feel blood. The picture you chose for this is awesome. Well, all of them are. Was that sooty in the pock of glass walked on, yet my feet are clean. Ooh. And what lies in your hands is suffocation. Incredible. Where's that other one that struck? Two rose petals littered on blood-soaked carpet, her sepals no longer stitched in hems. I mean, my goodness, the raw grit here, I almost feel like I want to reach through the poem, through the phone and give you a hug. And then there's something in your voice. And maybe it's just because you've been on the radio all night, but I feel like you're in pain or something. But this is amazing. Powerful, image-filled, metaphor-packed brilliance. I don't even know what, I mean, wow. I just, at mirror shined and illuminations gleaming, the descriptions, everything is kicking my butt with emotion here, yet my feet are clean. I mean, think about that. And that from the get-go, I was pulled to the galvanized goads. I hail the queen of metaphors. I don't know what else to say. Deforestation of, I'm sorry, I'm stealing everything. I apologize, you guys. I know this one blows me away. I have to hold on to this one. Fantastic share. Thank you, Kay. Wayne, what do you think?
Well, that was a great read, and your ability to say things the way you do is ingenious or insane one. I hope someday the writing of the abstract verb becomes life that brings life to reality. Every time I hear everyone you write, it's something to write to talk about. Great job. I love your poem. Great job.
Thanks.
Awesome comment. And Hatter?
Yeah, some great lines in here. Red triangles, two rose petals littered on blood-soaked carpet. What's the other? Galvanized goads. Yeah, you mentioned that one. For deforestation of laurels, lambasting pelt. I don't know where you come up with these. It's so well done. Your well of word choices is deep, man. Deep.
Thank you.
Awesome comment. David?
Oh, no, the thing that I really liked about this poem, outside of all of the great descriptions and stuff in there, is the storyline. It really intrigued me and got me to asking myself several different questions as I was listening to Kay read it. I really like the picture on the bottom, the one with the ravens or crows or whatever they are, and the woman in the background there. That's really neat. There's so many good lines in this and word combination pairs that I really don't know where to start in on it, but it's a really fine poem, and I think I'm going to put this one on my front page. I think it's worth that. So well done, Kay.
Fantastic comments, everyone. Stephen, will you please comment for Kay and then read us your poem?
Yeah, I thought that this was a very powerful piece. I told you in my comment, words woven with wiseness and knowing. But there's so much in here that really, that line that really catches me is that one that everybody's been talking about, sitting in a pocket of glass, walked on, yet my feet are clean. And then what lies in your hands is suffocation, telling somebody that, you know, they can make or break you, sometimes with their words even. So, yeah, I think it's a powerful piece.
Awesome comments, everyone. Thank you so much, Kay. Stephen, take us away, please.
I decided to honor a movie that's celebrating its 40th anniversary of release next weekend.
Mm-hmm.
And I call this Sauce for the Goose, Even the Odds. Wounded and limping toward Nebula, bulwarks in Utah within, tyrant nipping at her heels, portent torpedo toxin. Visual screens of static and snow through radiation tottering blind, collision of behemoth bets unknown, old white belt enemy packed unbind. Epoch acumen will take the reins, exploiting two-dimensional thought, dive to depths and tiptoe behind, genetic engineering to be wrought. Energy beams jump forth from banks, shattering itself as if it were glass. Ahab temper boils over spitting wits. Planet Maker begins to hum and flash. Bastion breath can't be achieved before all gas turns to dirt. Self-sacrifice giving back her speed so no others will be hurt. Needs of the many did outweigh the needs of the few and the one. Can Vulcan myths soon prevail to undo the deed that's done? End poem.
Wow. Well, you know, for starters, I want to say I think it's awesome that you made it a tribute poem. Like, how perfect is that space, the final frontier? But yet, between all the imagery in your word, and what are these called nowadays? Easter eggs? I don't know why we're not calling them gifts anymore, but okay. And the amazing Easter eggs that you put through here. But like visual screens of static and snow through radiation, twittering blind. Who? Or what's the other? Exploiting two dimensions. Really, really cool. That there's something about that one right there. Genetic engineering to be wrought. Where's that? Okay, bestoned breath, bestoned, say that one again, bestoned.
Bastioned.
Bastioned. Bastioned breath can't be achieved. I've never heard that expression before. I've actually never heard the word bastioned. But I like how you put in just enough little pieces, too, that anybody who is only listening and can't see the link on the board has no doubt what you're talking about, because, like, well, unless you live under a rock and you've never heard any expression from Star Trek or any of that, but, like, the need of the one, everything, I thought this was fantastic, and it bears repeating, but I think that it's very cool that you did it as a tribute to 40 years. Oh, my word. It doesn't, I mean, it went by, shoo, wow. That just blows me away itself. But fantastic poem, fantastic read, and very appreciated. And let me get you some comments. Hatter, what you think?
On. Yeah. Yeah, you know, one thing, those movies, Star Trek and Star Wars, was the explosions in space. The way they did it made them epic. I like the way you pieced it together. Yeah. And we'll be searching for Spock shortly, won't we?
Yes, we will. Thanks, Hatter.
Awesome comment. And Wayne, please.
Stop shooting. I give up. What an action packed one. Beam me up, Scott. Beam me up, brother. It's a great story with a hell of a sideshow on it. My neck hurts from doing all the ducking because I thought I was getting shot. It's a wonderful tribute to the show, and you did a great job with this poem. It's wonderful, wonderful. It did Star Trek good. Great job, man.
Thanks, Wayne.
Awesome comment. And I'm going to have David read next, so I'm going to have Kay comment next, please.
Yeah. Well, I think this is great because it speaks to the film, but I think in life as well, the packs that bind, the things behind it at times that are most unkind, but also sacrifices. And I said that sometimes a sacrifice for the greater good is an order if it means that things get restored to a natural order. As I said to you, the close and end of the question, we all know that the fuck comes back. So it was something that worked out in its own ways, to my knowledge.
Yeah.
It's great, great. Thanks,
son.
Awesome comment. And David, while I get your poem, will you please comment for Stephen? David, are you muted?
I'd be pleased to do that. I'm a Star Trek fan through and through, and I've seen all of them. And I love every one of them. I love the old stuff just as much as some of the newer stuff. In fact, I think some of the older stuff is better, really. But anyway, that scene with right down at the bottom, the last picture in Stephen's poem with Kirk and Spock there, that really puts a lump in your throat if you're a real fan of those two gentlemen, and I am. And this poem is really noble in its descriptions of this situation and the story that surrounds it and the just the general atmosphere that Star Trek existed in. I think you did a really fine job of putting that all into one poem, Stephen.
Thank you, Dave.
Fantastic comment. Thank you, everyone. And before I have David read, Stephen, did you want to tell us what's happening this week at A Poetic Slice of Life?
Oh, sure. Let's see here. Our next show, it is Labor Day coming up here, and our next show will talk about Labor Day a little bit, I guess. We're going to be focusing on the classic movie A Place in the Sun, starring Montgomery Clift and Elizabeth Taylor. I bet it take place over Labor Day weekend, so I figured it's fitting. We have quotes from that movie to write to. Check that out. That's 9 p.m. Eastern on Wednesday. Thursday, the Movement of Sound is here, and yes, it will be the annual Jimmy Buffett show over at A Poetic Slice of Life, saying goodbye to summer and hello to fall by listening to some good Jimmy Buffett music. And then, I don't know, you want to talk about Friday real quick? Then?
Oh, yeah. Friday, 8 p.m. Eastern, that is our show for the Writing Challenge that I did for the month of August. And that basically is, if you're comfortable with doing that. And for anybody who wasn't, I asked if you want to bring a write about your first, like, first grandchild, first child, first love, first heartache. You get the gist. Anything about a first that you're comfortable with sharing.
There you go. And then Saturday is Storyboards with Sky Darkholm, and she's featuring a double feature, Conan the Barbarian and Conan the Destroyer.
Mm.
Quote rights, character rights, movie rights, IMDb rights. Come geek out with Sky, 8 p.m. on Saturday.
That's
sounds like all kinds of fun going on. Thank you so much. Appreciate you both. And Mr. Dave Prophet, take us away, please.
Okay. This one's called Saying Goodbye to the Witch. This has to do with the Witch Head Nebula in IC-2118. I did another poem about this a few years back, and when I looked at this James Webb Telescope image, it reminded me of that. If you look at the banner picture on the page there, it almost looks like somebody's holding their hand up waving goodbye to this image in the background. And so it sounds like this. She's the witch in IC-2118, redshift of her former self, kisses in high-energy photons from her supergiant lover, Rigel, supergiant O-class star, wish I may, wish I might, oh, how I wonder who you are, shining in my eyes so bright, reflections from my witch nebula wife, your sexuality so full of rife, your distance my constant strife, your stardust rouge so full of life, as I watch you slip away, the cosmological constant plays, here today and gone tomorrow, leaves me with joy but too much sorrow, fleeting redshift images past, leaves all the astronomers aghast, reflection nebulous family cast, tip to tip, spread out so vast. For I can no longer kiss your feet, your pretty toes of stardust sweet, for I have eaten all but your head. Your dark matter to me has bled. I cannot keep up with you. Your slice of time is different, too. So I will wave goodbye. Our sad parting stings my eyes. We've been together for millions of years. You took my light to calm your fears, glowing in such purples and blues, all the love I have for you. Goodbye, my pretty witch, I say. I've always loved you in my way. Now I see you're fading fast, my lovely witch, now gone at last. End poem.
Wow, David, you dove into this one. I remember actually when you talked about the Witch Nebula before, so I had that image in my mind. And then in this one that you chose, it kind of looks like the movement as if like she's walking. As I watch you slip away, the cosmological constant plays here today and gone tomorrow leaves me with joy but too much sorrow. And then there was the play with words on the wish I may, miss, wish, yeah, the hell, I can't talk, wish I may, wish I might. That was really cool. Towards the end, I cannot keep up with you. Your slice of time is different too. So I will wave goodbye, our sad parting stings my eyes. It's like, the emotion there is like, my goodness, the sadness of the goodbye. I think this came out great, and your storytelling skills are shining through, and even that, like the rhyme and flow here was awesome. So fantastic share. Might be a topic that you just happen to like, Dave. Who knew? Ha ha. Let me get you, before I get you some comments, I'm pretty sure I think that our sweet pea wants to scream out your comment in just a second, but let's say hello to her. Hello, beautiful. I'm glad you're here.
Hello. How are you guys?
We thank you.
Wow.
And right behind sweet, if you feel that warm breath on the back of your neck, that's Mr. A.P. Taylor. Hey, A.P., welcome to the show.
Hi, Deb. How are you?
I am hanging in there. How are you? Glad you're here.
I've been busy. Been busy?
Yeah.
But good.
Busy. I think that, I don't know, that should be your middle name. Just saying. But my sweet...
Okay.
Will you comment for David, please?
I think this is a beautiful story. I think it's melancholy. It's got, you know, it's got passion. It's got, it's kind of got everything a love story should have. You know, it's got the goodbye, it's got the hellos, it's got, you know, mystery. It's kind of got everything that you would want in a great love story, including the you know, classic goodbye ending. It reminds me of the, and I'm not, it's going to totally blank out of me, but Casablanca is what I was thinking, where, you know, they're at the plane and everybody's goodbye and, you know, I'll love you forever kind of scene. And I just thought it was really beautiful.
Fabulous comment. And I want to go back over to the duo, which might only be Stephen right now, and say, Stephen, would you like to comment?
Yes, and it's still both of us. I thought this was an amazing piece. To me, what I was gathering from it was the fact that it speaks to how these celestial bodies that we see up in the night sky, you know, out there in space, are very possibly already gone because of how long it takes their light to get to us. That's what I'm seeing here. So that Witch Head Nebula may have already disappeared from our view. We just don't know it yet. And it has that I don't know, like a solemn feel to it because it's going away. It's, you know, it's sad in a way. It is. It's very cool right there.
Yeah. Thank you, Stephen.
Awesome comment. And Kay, would you like to comment?
Well, yeah, I think this is a wonderful, right? I like how you speak about wish I may, wish I might. Oh, how I wonder who you are. That takes me back to youth in its own way. But I like how it speaks too, because through the beauty, you're knowing what is felt. The goodbye is the only answer. It's a powerful, right? It really speaks wonderfully to the prompt itself. It brings in a lot of emotions. It brings in the color. But it also leaves its lingering effect too. Wonderful, right?
Thank you, Kay.
Awesome comment. Thank you both. And how about I get a comment from Wayne. And AP, would you put your link directly on the board?
Sure.
Yes, this is amazing. But after a million years together, they need to separate. So it's a good thing she left. A million years is a long time. I can't stick around for like 2 hours. Drives me crazy. But I do have to say, I am a super giant lover. Because it leaves me with joy and too much sorrow. It's a great, great poem all the way through. I enjoyed it all the way through. Goodbye, witch, and I'm glad she's gone for your sake. Good poem. I enjoyed the story.
Thank you, Wayne.
Awesome comment. And Hatter, will you comment for David?
Yeah, so David, did the Rigel cluster there, the nebula, did it eat the, sort of take over the witch's head, or did this telescope go so detailed that we lost it in the image?
The Witch Head Nebula, like I said, it's a reflection nebula, and it picks up a lot of light from Rigel, which is it's a binary system. It has a smaller star that orbits around it, and it's a real Rigel's an old class supergiant blue star, so there's a lot of radiation involved in the light, and when it hits the dust particles in the witch's face, it lights them up. It irradiates them with short wavelength radiation, like maybe some mild gamma radiation and stuff like that, and so it makes her glow, you know, and space is expanding now they decided that there's dark energy out there, and it's helping to accelerate the rate of expansion, and it's gradually moving away from Rigel at a different rate. You know, space span expands differently depending on where you're at. So basically
okay.
That's it.
Cool.
Awesome. And I think I let everybody... Yeah. AP, will you please comment for Dave and read us your poem?
Surely. It was really interesting. I really liked the image, and I really liked the sense of that sort of long-term connection that's there, and mm-hmm. of the witch and saying goodbye. And life of me, I don't understand why, but it sort of feels like what happened if the witch actually lived and the witch was. As it was, she got smashed by a house, and all we saw were the shoes, but if she'd been around, she probably would have been a decent character.
Yeah. Yeah, I don't know why I wrote that in there that way either, AP. I just did, so.
Yeah.
Thank you.
Awesome comments. Well, thank you, everyone. AP.
Well, Deb, this is a very quick write because I didn't do my homework and I'd had this image for like months. And so I sat down to have my lunch and recognised I should actually do a poem since I was the one who sort of halfway suggested you should do this topic. So this is a brevity. It's called Shavings. And it goes a little bit like this. I curl far away, yet I seem near. Remain hidden by day, but still swirling I sear. To juxtapose froth, as if atop coffee. Spellbinding a moth, for a swirl does it see. Two eyes with mouth like a living creature, moves ever south, pale blue the feature, expanding beyond, its shavings apply, as if a silky fern frond descends into my eye. End poem.
Well, I think this is a cool brevity, and I have to say shavings is quite a clever title because, like, if you were peeling potatoes or making shavings of chocolate, you really could get those curly-like pieces. So I think that's kind of clever right there. I curl far away, yet I seem near. Remain hidden by day, but still swirling, I sear. Even if you didn't do anything else, you absolutely describe that. And your tiny little stanzas still have excellent rhyme and flow, and your ABAB, I like that. And eyes with mouth, like living creature, moves ever south, pale blue in the feature. That's food for thought as well, like a living creature. For all we know, it is the way things go. And, like, I like what you do with this. I think this is a great brevity. Hatter. I'm losing my voice. Hatter, will you comment for AP?
Yeah, I like the last expanding beyond the shavings and fry, as if the silky fern from descends into my eye. That picture does really look like it's swirling down. That was a good description of that picture. This telescope is quite amazing, isn't it?
It is. It's a brilliant thing, Hatter. It is. I've been super excited by all the images that have been coming out, but then I'm a bit of a space nut, so it's just, you know, something I do. But I think it's been incredible. Great, 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 great thing.
And can I get a comment from David?
Yes, ma'am, you may. I like this a lot, AP. You know, when we look up into the universe and we see some of these pictures, I know I find myself, you know, referencing them to some other things sometimes. Just depends. This particular image here, you know, that lower one looks like some sort of a galaxy. There's a name for those types of galaxies that only have two arms on them, and I can't remember what they are now. But and then the other one up above it looks like it almost might have had another galaxy plow through it, the way it's kind of tore up and irregular. But you did a really good job of describing the prompt here, I think, and you did it with a lot of class, as you normally do, and you know, it was an interesting storyline, and it was really well done for four stanzas, and especially if you just sat down and wrote it, you know, within the last couple of hours. That's good. It's really good.
Thanks, Dave. And yes, tried probably 20 minutes. So yes, I didn't have long.
Mm-hmm. Did good.
Showing off. Who didn't I get to comment? Wayne, did you comment, Dearheart?
I don't think I have. I will now. This is a wonderful brevity, and I like the lines that just opposed froth as just a cup of coffee. When I see the picture, it's the first thing I thought of was coffee. That's a great, great little phrase there. It's a cool write with great flow, great rhyme, and they did great with the prompt. I like the prompt there, AP. Good job.
Thanks, Juan. Thank you.
Awesome comment. And my sweet, before you read, will you comment for AP, please?
Sure. A dollop is all it takes to change the face of the world. And that's what it looks like to me. I like the title. Because it does look like a dollop of shaving cream to me, actually. And I think that's all it takes is, you know, that little dollop in your coffee, the little dollop of shaving cream, the little dollop of anything. And that's kind of what it looks like. And I thought this was beautifully done. As if a silky fern frond descends into my eyes. Very well done. As always, Mr. A.P.
Awesome comment, everybody. And AP, I'm sure you have to bolt back and be busy as usual. But I appreciate you calling. Love and respect.
No, thank you.
And my sweet.
I'd actually lost the studio number off my phone. That's how little I've called recently. So thanks, Deb. Thanks, everybody.
Bye.
Okay.
And
thanks,
sweet.
Everybody.
Show us what you got.
Yeah. All right. This is Explosion. Imprinted in a violent, violet sky is the essence of life. Shimmers of the past catching pearls in the dark. Threads of humanity unravel, hanging on stars. Beyond the faded silver stars, hear the whispers of fairies and gods. The time before the sunshine of the sun faded to black. A world 36 trillion miles away if you travel by car. Can you hear the final cries of the lost in the fire? The last crash of an ocean wave? Did the last tree fall and not make a sound? Imprinted in the violent, violet sky is the essence of life. Humanity wishing on their golden light. Shadows of smiles still swinging on stars. End poem.
Explosion. I like the title because it.
Deborah.
Okay, that was me. I'm like, did I lose everybody? Lost Deb. She'll be back.
I like that it was the second stanza, beyond the faded silver stars, hearing the whispers of fairies and gods. You know, I keep reading that, and it sounds like gods and stars almost rhyme. Is it just me? Beyond the faded silver stars, hearing the whispers of fairies and gods.
Yeah, similar pattern, I think.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
I just traveled by car. Better get going. <It'll be early.
laughs> Yeah.
Oh, beautiful.
Green.
You know, you don't see that green.
No.
Dave, is that just a filter? Or they just
yeah, I think it is.
Pick up. Okay.
Yeah, I think they use that. A lot of the imaging that comes in off these satellites and Hubble Space Telescope aren't so profusely brilliant as you see them when NASA gets them done processing them. And that's not really a fault of the telescope either. It has to do with the redshift of the light as it's coming to us. The frequencies get stretched out due to gravitational interactions that the photons go through. And so when NASA recolors those things, they put them back in the correct wavelength so that we can see what it really would look like if we were right up close to it. So, but you don't usually see very many greens in these astral images. Most of them are blues and reds and oranges and yellows and stuff like that.
Okay, so Dave, what did you think of my poem? Because I'm just going to keep asking.
Oh, I loved it. I thought it was great.
Good.
Beyond the faded silver stars, hear the whispers of fairies and gods. I like that. A time before the shining of the sun faded to black, a world 36 trillion miles away if you travel by. Can you hear the final cries of the lost in the fire, the last crash of the ocean wave? Did the last tree fall and not make a sound? Some really interesting thoughts that you put into this, Pam. I thought this was really well done. I liked it a lot. It was interesting. It was mysterious. And it was fun. So I have to pat you on the back for that one if I could.
Thank you. Hey, Deb, you're back.
Great comment, David. And I don't know how much of my brilliant comment you got to hear because I didn't realize that the handset died. I had to get the other phone.
I heard you liked my title.
That's all? No way.
That's all I heard.
That's all I heard.
I started with that, the violent violet sky. There was something about that that just grabbed me. And then there was this, I can't believe it didn't hit. The beyond the faded silver stars, hear the whispers of fairies and gods, a time before the shine of the sun. And I was saying so astutely that I had just got to hear a recording of Inside of a Black Hole on the news. So that's where my head went when I when you read that part. And then in the next one, can you hear the final cries of lost in the fire? It was just like so potent. And then when you, the nod to that, when trees fall, I said something about, the fact that it's a nod to that. If there's nobody there to hear it when a tree falls, does it make a noise type of thing? I thought was really cool.
Mm-hmm.
But what really struck me and what I was making the biggest fuss over to the dead air was that the line humanity wishing on the golden light, which I thought was an outstanding way to mention wishing on a star. I had this, don't you hate when that happens? You do this amazing comment and then you want to try to remember the things you said because they were so awesome. But anyway, I said that you were very, very, very missed, and I'm glad that you're back. And anyway, fantastic poem. I'm glad David jumped in and commented. Hatter, will you comment for my tweet?
Hatter did.
I was able to start it off while you were gone.
Okay. How about Lane?
Yeah, I mean, I think it was a road trip. You got a nice little road trip there, 36 million miles away. So just put my head out of the world. Yeah, I hadn't heard your voice in a while, and just hearing your voice, it was great. It's like an explosion. The last line, you did great alliteration. I don't know about alliteration. Shadows of smiles still swinging on the stars. That's a wonderful line. And again, it's great to hear your voice again. Wonderful read. Encore, encore.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Awesome comment. And since I don't know for sure, did everybody get the comment?
I don't know who's here, so.
Okay, I think so. I just wanted to make sure. And my sweet, did you want to talk about tomorrow?
Yes, I would love to talk about tomorrow. Tomorrow is like going to be like one of my favorite days. Tomorrow is about whether you believe in fate, whether you believe in fortune tellers, whether you think it's all tomfoolery. I happen to be go see a mentalist, and I was part of this show. I got put up on stage. Long story short, he basically told me to close my eyes, and he touched my forehead, and he said, now you and I are going to have a conversation. And granted, I was in a room with like 60 people, and I've been to Disney World at least 30 times between Disney World and Disneyland in my life. And all of a sudden I heard the Mickey Mouse song, and in a box that has been locked on a table the entire time from the time I walked into the room. Inside this locked box was Mickey Mouse. And it totally blew me out of the water. So I also mentioned a book called Futility or The Wreck of the Titan, which is the story of the Titanic, almost word for word, the luxury liner built by the British, crashes against a iceberg starboard in April, 3,000 people on board, only 24 lifeboats. Most of them perished in a short amount of time, written 14 years before Titanic. The boat that sank was called the Titan. Do you believe that he foresaw it, or do you believe it is completely coincidental? So I kind of want to talk about that kind of things. Do you, you know, do you think you're fated for things to happen in your life? Do you think if you make decisions that things don't happen? Is there a plan? Is there not a plan? You know, that kind of world, what, you know, whether you write fiction, whether you write truths, whatever you feel, what happens in our lives. So that's kind of what I'm looking for, the discussion tomorrow night, some poems on it, and to kind of talk about the crash of the Titan and all these other kinds of things. Fate, foreseers, or foolishness, what you think about it. So I'm really looking forward to tomorrow's show.
Me too.
Cool.
Sounds like
very
fun.
Cool.
Yeah. All right. Well, now, if everyone will click on Angel's poem, I will read for her so she can get some sleep. And this is called Crash and Burn Into Me by Heavenly Angel. Here we go. Two shooting stars came together. Asteroid showers of flaming passion. Upon the interstate of the Milky Way will ride into the night, enraptured in the brilliance of the moon's gentle light. The glowing smile and ivory shade glow, ametrine aura burns, watch symmetry flow. My world was born when I saw you breathe, loading moons that lift up my night sky. Give us a chance, love. Universe can be ours. Constellations dance tonight beyond stars. Pierce fresh bouquet, hot muscadine wine. Sweetness to lips, treasure to find. Leave trails of amethyst stardust. Follow your orbit into my heart. My galaxy, my universe. You are the starshine. Buttery moon begs, stay in my galaxy. If you go away, a cosmic tragedy. Let me be the one you call. Break your fall. Lift you up and fly away with you into the night. If you need to crash, then crash and burn in my heart of my galaxy. Oh, I love that ending there. Oh, if you jump, I'll break your fall. Lift you up and fly away with you into the night. If you need to crash, then crash and burn in the heart of my galaxy. I love the ending. But back, those two shooting stars came together, asteroid showers of flaming passion. I love that asteroid showers of flaming passion. And the colors there, The purples and pinks and reds and blues are they're romantic colors, so that, the flaming passion, little stands that, see, glowing smile and ivory shade glow, ametrine or burns, watch symmetry flow. I like the back and forth. I was actually, there was a feel to it that I kept on looking to see if it was maybe a collab. So I think it's really clever how that there's like the free verse, but yet rhyme, and then spot on little ones, and it's got so much imagery and as always love and the declaration of foreverness, but that ending there, crash and burn in the heart of my galaxy, excellent. And as always, it was my honor to be Angel's reader. Fantastic job. Sweet, you want to comment?
These are some stunning lines that just, you know, shine your excellence for metaphor and for imagery, like these trails of amethyst stardust. What a great, I mean, that's just beautiful in imagery. And, you know, can you just imagine stardust and amethyst? I thought that was gorgeous. I know Deb kind of gushed over, if you need to crash, then crash and burn into the heart of my galaxy, because it's perfect. There's other ones. See glowing smile and ivory shade glow. I like that. We'll ride deep into the night, enraptured in the brilliance of the moon's gentle light. And there are so many great lines in here that just flow into that perfect imagery. This is just really pretty. But, you know, we would expect nothing less from the romantic queen herself. Well done, my dear.
Excellent comment. And David, please.
I agree with what Pam said about this. She describes the prompt really well. On the interstate of the Milky Way, we'll ride deep into the night, enraptured in the brilliance of the moon's gentle light. It's like she's sitting out under the stars looking at this with her bow. And just, you know, she is the queen of romance, no doubt about it. And I really enjoyed this. I like all of Angel's work. She's an amazing poetess. I like the one stanza that stuck out to me was, leaves trails of amethyst stardust, follow your orbit to my heart, my galaxy, my universe. You are the starshine. Yeah, and boy, that's true. That's really true. And I thought this was a beautiful poem, really well written. She put a lot of thought into it, too, I can tell.
Awesome comment. Thank you, David. And Hatter?
Yeah, she's got a way of getting that. Every verse has that romantic feel to it. I like the, my world was born when I saw you breathe. What a line. And on through, there's one in every line. I agree, the amethyst stardust. Anybody that's thought too hard about space and where we are and consider we are stardust, we all are stardust. Everything we know.
Absolutely.
We start. Yeah. Good job.
Great song, too. Awesome comment. And Wayne, will you comment for Angel and then read us your poem, please?
Wow, my world was born when I saw you breathe. And that tells about the love in the greatest way. And I thought the line, give us a chance, love. Our universe can be ours. That's just wonderful. You turned the picture into a great love story. And heavenly, you always be in the heart of my galaxy. You're the best romance I've ever read. Love oozes out of your words. I just want to love like you write about someday, but it won't happen. But great job, this poem. A great romance, this poem. Great job.
Awesome comment. Thank you, everyone. And if you go ahead and click on Wayne's poem, push his second recording here. Somebody shout out when you see the link, please.
Got it.
I see it.
Here we go.
This poem is called Nibblers at Night. Two sculptured neon nibblers whispered to blinking backyard. Melted magnesium wept as titanium caressed uranium hard. Gunmetal granite grabbed perfume platinum, netting nickel dust. Crack-coated copper blistered bronze, sniffing metallic rust. Crisp cadmium scald smoky silver into crystal onyx quartz. Acrylic aluminum alloy snarled as shadow slate snorts. Jeweled raspberry rubies and indigo emeralds skirt ebony sky. Assassinating asteroid scrape stars etched in universal eye. In.
What a closing line. Assassinating asteroids scrape stars etched in universal eye. Wow, 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 what a closing line. I love that. Okay, let me back up some here. Nebulas at Night. There was a romantic kind of feel in your voice. Maybe, I don't know how to put it. It was just like a tender, I don't know.
But anyway,
it was a solemn, yeah, a solemnness or something. It was really cool. I love the first line as well. Two sculpted neon nebulas whispered to blinking backyards, melted magnesium wheat as titanium caressed uranium hard. I thought, oh, that bugger, that's kind of cool. There's some double meanings, like triple meanings in one or two spots. I thought that this came out really, really clever. And it's funny because my favorite parts are the opening line and the closing line, especially the closing line. So I think that this is another fabulous brevity, Wayne.
Thank you.
You belt them out. And again, I'm glad you're feeling better and that you're back. Let me get you some comments. Hatter, what do you think?
Yeah, he does. It's hard to tell that he's doing a bank. He gets, I think Dave mentioned it on the earlier one, where sometimes it's a little tongue-twisting, which gives it that. But you piece it together just perfectly. Yeah.
Go ahead. And David, will you comment for Wayne, please?
Yeah. This poem pointed out something that that kind of surprises me every now and then when I read about what's out there in interstellar space. Most of us think it's a vacuum and there's not much out there, but that's not true. And as Hatter pointed out earlier, we are all stardust. The Earth, you and me, we're all stardust, and that's where we came from. And when a star novas, when it goes supernova, it has enough pressure and heat and stuff inside it to produce some of these rare elements that don't get produced anywhere else. And when I was listening to Wayne read this, it dawned on me because he brought about the constituents in this particular nova or this nebula, like melted magnesium and titanium, uranium, aluminum. You know, I mean, we don't think of all the time we think about aluminum, we think of it as being dug up out of the earth and stuff. But, you know, these supernovas can pump out enough of these elements, and they just sort of kind of come together and form themselves. Some of these nebulas have alcohol floating around in them. And different elements and compounds, you know, and I really like the way Wayne put this thing whole together. Crisp cadmium scaled smoky silver into crystal onyx quartz, acrylic aluminum alloy snarled as shadowed slate snorts. Good rhyme and meter here, Wayne. You know, your storytelling is superb. Really a cool poem.
Thank you, man.
Good job all the way around.
Appreciate the comment, man.
Awesome comment. And Sweet, will you comment, please?
Wayne is a wickedly wonderful, witty writer who weaves a watercolored whale of a tale. I loved it, Wayne.
Oh, awesome comment. So, Big Brother, will you read?
Can't hear you, Deb.
Yeah. Say hi.
Yes, my Big Brother Hatter.
Oh, thank you. Okay. Yeah, I pulled one from the vault for the picture. It's called Rainbow in the Dark. It goes like this. The ancient rains fed prison skies laid buried underground. Darkness feeds as demons cry, shadows lost and never found. Days of gray paint, nights of black, buying time but never sold. Bolted lights play stormy seas, wicked winds spin chains of gold. The fall of heaven's tinted dome where streaks of light show arc, painted waves to guide me home like a rainbow in the dark. In poems.
There's that Hatter rhyme. And you got the ABAB thing going too. Let's see what I wrote last time. Too fantastic to pick one stanza Hatter. Yep, that's true. I'll have to pick one. I like darkness feeds as demons cry in shadows lost and never found. And then towards the end there, the fall of heaven's tinted dome where streaks of light shall arc. Really, really cool. I like this one. I'm glad that you pulled it out. I like how it's got like that rainbow in the picture at the top, and then the actual picture from space has all the rainbow colors as well, but it's sort of twisted. So rather than an arc, it's like a tunnel, a beam, tunnel of light. So I think you combined them quite cleverly, Big Bro. Let me get you some comments. Dave.
Yeah. First of all, the title to this thing reminds me of a Ronnie James Dio song called, by the very same name, called Rainbow in the Dark, one of my favorite songs. I really like this, both of these pictures. That one bottom one almost looks like a nexus of some sort. It's beautiful. Prism skies laid buried underground, darkness feels as demons cry, shadows lost and never found. Boy, the rhyme and meter don't get much better than the way Hatter uses it. It just doesn't. And there's a magic. I said this before and for a long time, and I'll say it again. There's a magical quantity about Hatter's writing. It's always there. It's never missing. And all you got to do is pick up on it and read it. And, you know, it's, you sit there and you go, wow, this is cool. And this one's the same, you know. the fall of heaven's tinted dome where streaks of light shall arch, painting waves to guide me home like a rainbow in the dark. That's just cool as hell. That's really cool. Nice job, Hatter. I love this thing.
Thank you, Dave. Yeah, what would we know what a rainbow looks like in space anyway? So.
Yeah, I agree.
Awesome comment. Wayne, will you comment for Heaven?
Yes, this is a wonderfully dark poem. Great rhyme. You're wonderful read. Your voice had a great forceful emotion, and like he's going through, you hit his head, and like a rainbow in the dark. This had a great flow in it. You presented well, and I enjoyed it a lot. Great job, Hatterman.
Thank you, Wayne.
Great comment. And Sweet, will you comment for Heather?
Yes, Hatter. All I know is that you're the magic in my rainbow, the light in my rainbow. I don't care where you appear. Space, you know, subsets of Dante's hell we call Wonderland. I think this is perfect. And believe it or not, I've never read this. I've never even commented on it. So it's a new one for me. And it's stunning. Thank you.
Thank you. Thank you.
Awesome comment. Fantastic. Okay, David, would you read the next poem on the board for me, please? Would you mind reading Lockdown Larks for me at the poems on the board?
Oh, sure. Yeah, absolutely. Hold on a second here. Let me get over there. Refresh. Okay, this is called The Black Rain by Lockdown Larks. Black is the great mystery there before explosion of light. It is a universe's history of advancing spectrum fight. The colors of light are dancing across eons of space and time. Does black welcome romancing? Could there be a marriage sublime? Black plays cards close to chest, to sentient, not giving much away. Its singularity they try to test, but black ensures night follows day. The sentient flirts every night when eyes close and black reigns. In this teasing of twilight, the soul of sentient remains. Patiently black waits in the shadows, plotting its most grave of role, finally overcoming the light it knows in the dawning of a black hole. End poem. It's pretty cool.
Great read, David. Thank you. I like his title, The Black Rain, and right from the beginning, black is the great mystery there before explosions of light. It's a universe's history of the advancing spectrum light fight. Sorry. I like the, he's got the AB going as well, and he's got awesome visuals. And I think towards the end there, too, the sentiment flirts every night when eyes close and black rains in a teasing of twilight, the soul of sentient remains, the teasing of twilight. I like that expression. I thought it was awesome brevity. Yeah, I'm glad that he sent it in. Thank you, Lockdown. And it was a great read, David. Will you comment for him as well?
Yeah, I like this a lot. I'm a big fan of black holes and stuff anyway. And so parts of this resonated with me really well. I've often thought about what happened before the Big Bang, if that's really what happened. That harkens back to the first line in the first stanza, black is the great mystery before the explosion of light. You know, it's everything's the same out there, whether there's light or darkness, basically. But being the sighted creatures that we are, we don't do well without any light around. So most of the time, there's some interesting thoughts that are in this, and he presents them in a most intriguing way. The sentient flirts every night when eyes closed and black rains in this teasing of twilight, the soul sentient remains. That's cool. It's a really well-written poem, and I could tell that he put a lot of thought into it. It's really well done.
Awesome comment. And Hatter, what do you think?
Yeah, I agree with Dave. The imagination great job with the colors. I got to start writing these things down. The black hole, black plays cards close to chest and sentient, not giving much away. But black ensures night follows day. Where it's climbing, it's building up through the poem, and the way he ends it to the dawning of a black hole. You know, you can romanticize the black hole, and they really deserve really so, but it's one of the most violent things that you could even try to imagine in space.
Mm-hmm.
And be able to grab it and romanticize it to a point shows some great imagination, and took some time writing this, I'm sure.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I thought so too.
Awesome comment. Am I sweet?
Sorry, Deb, I was out with the dogs. I actually didn't hear Lockdown Lars. I will leave him a comment, though.
Mm-hmm. Okay, no problem. Thank you very much. And
you're welcome.
You find the next poem. How about if I put Bill the Poet on the board? We'll play his recording. Where does Tima Voices go? And sweet, peek at your inbox, hon. And you guys click on that, and I'll push play. Okay, it didn't download. Change of plan. Let me grab Gerald's poem. And then I'll put that one up instead and try to figure out what happened to Phil's. Okay, here comes the link for Gerald's poem. Okay, I'm all thumbs. Here we go. Go ahead and click on that, and I will push play.
Welcome to Gerald Green Poetry. Viewing Eternity, written and read by Gerald Green. The scientist is beaming ear to ear, proud of who she is and what she's done. To place a telescope so far away, making photographs that thrill and stun. They call it Webb in honor of a man, measuring with new technology, revealing what has never reached our eyes, waxing knowledge of astronomy. The universe expands with every blink, growing faster at breathtaking pace, nonlinear progression on each chart, speeding further out in hidden space. But no one knows if space itself expands. None can measure vacuum, find its size. to quantify against infinity, baffling all the well-informed and wise. What force could start this scene that we behold, starting with a bang that no one heard, that's still evolving by a hidden hand, pushing out as if it's forced or spurred? So where it ends is something no one knows. We are weak spectators in this game of size and scope beyond abilities, analyzing pictures frame by frame. Visit YouTube for more Gerald Green poetry.
Such an awesome reading voice. He's got one of those voices that you can hear crystal clear. I like viewing eternity. It does seem like you are, and I like the picture that he chose. The universe expands with every blink, growing faster at breathtaking pace, non-linear progression on each chart, speeding farther out and hidden. And then towards the end, the other stanza I really like is, what force could start this scene that we behold, starting with a bang that no one heard, that's still evolving by a hidden hand pushing out, and it's forced or spurred. Forced or spurred. Really, really cool. I think that he did a great job. And that, and the last two lines or three lines, we are weak spectators in this game of size and scope beyond abilities, analyzing pictures frame by frame. The weak spectators in this game is food for thought, I'd say. I think he did an excellent job, as always, and a great recording. And I see he's already won an award for this as well. Fantastic work. Let me go to David, please.
Did you say me, Deb?
Yes, please.
Okay. Okay, thank you. I thought this was pretty interesting. It's a good commentary on the James Webb Telescope, why it's out there, what's going on with space. We are weak spectators in this game. Well, maybe, but I think we've done really, really well in the past 100 years. Look where we've come from, Sir Isaac Newton to nowadays. We figured out a lot of stuff, and so I don't think that we're doing too bad. it took me a long time to understand this, but space is not empty space. There's stuff in it. It contains time, and that's why they call it space-time, because it's a combination of both. And if time wasn't involved in space, nothing would happen in the universe. The sun wouldn't shine. The stars wouldn't work. There just wouldn't be anything going on there. I don't know what time is, but it is a force that is just as real as anything else in the universe. And so I always think of the space-time fabric as like a rubber tablecloth that stretches, and when you set something down heavy on it, it sinks. And when they talk about the curvature of space-time and gravity and stuff like that, all gravity really is that curvature of space underneath, let's say, a bowling ball on this rubber sheet, for example. But it says, what force could start this scene that we beheld, starting with a bang that no one heard? That's true. We didn't hear the bang, but there's still remnants of it called that float around in the background called the cosmic microwave background. And it's a heat signature. It's radiation left over from the Big Bang. And you can find it. They did a big sky survey of it, and they found it, a lot of it scattered all out. They made a whole thing out of it in the observable universe. So anyway, I'll shut up about it, but this is interesting. It's a good poem. I liked it.
Fantastic comment. Thank you very much. And what I'm going to do at this point, I don't know if you can tell by my voice, but I'm getting a killer headache. So I'm going to play Phil's video and then shut down. That'll leave Laughing Soul, WSP, and Crystal's poems. And Sweet is going to have me allow me to put them on her board. So we will do those three tomorrow night. And if you guys go ahead and click on Phil the Poet, I will push play, and then we will part ways. So tell me when you see it, please.
What are we looking for, Deb?
Phil the Poet.
Phil the Poet.
Okay, it's up. There we go.
Okay, here we go.
This is a poem by Phil the Poet called A Cosmic Portrait. A grimace of pain solidified by the blast of cosmic ice. Wrapped around a ghostly image, not once, but twice. Scarred by golden wood meteorites cascading before its eyes. A face frozen in time and space of compromise. Charcoal tears captured in the debris of an eggshell sun. The universe deeply ponders and how it all begun. Blinking of copper and magnesium distorts the face, the anguished visage of a portrait in deep space. Stars drift like tumbleweed across the expanse. The planets align in a drunken, whiskey dance. But no smile forms on the thin, pale lips, frozen in time. Every word, every scream, entombed in a space dust rhyme. The eyes of the portrait stare into the vast dimension. Flaming sunspots can't capture its attention before exploding into gunmetal pieces across the universe. The solemn face remains unhinged at the starburst. Floating past the unseeing eyes of the portrait, wondering what was this poor being's final fate. Captured image on my camera to show the alien all alone, just like me, roaming the galaxy so far away from home. End poem.
Well, you know, I don't know if it's me, but there seems to be this tone in the voices tonight. Even Phil, I don't know if I would... If it was, yeah, I guess it could have been like a sadness, a darkness there. Like in the third stanza, or no, the second stanza, charcoal tears captured in the debris of an eggshell sun, and the universe deeply ponders on how it all began. And then in the third, the second to the last stanza, the eyes of the portrait stare into the vast dimension. Flaming sunspots can't capture its attention before exploding into gunmetal pieces across the universe. The solemn face remains unhinged at the starburst. I like the imagery that he put through here too, but like I said, I can't get past the fact that a lot of people were pulled into a sad or somber direction in the stars. The rhyme in here and the descriptions and the feel. I think that Phil did an excellent job. And as always, the recordings are a treat because we get to hear his lovely voice. So thank you so much.
I appreciate it. And Hatter, will you comment for Phil?
Yeah. Phil never writes anything bad. He's got a he builds his rights from start. This one is great because to me what I got was, can we be the center of it all? I mean, with our thoughts being inclusive to what science knows, why aren't we, or why can't he think that way? And that's what I got from him, where he says, he was so far from home. excellent piece.
And David?
Yeah, I really like this poem. This was one of Phil's most interesting pieces to me. I just love the way he rhymed this and the way he put these metaphors and adjectives together. The planets align in a drunken whiskey dance. No smile forms on the thin, pale lips frozen in time. It's spooky and kind of dark in a funny sort of way, but it's interesting. It's fascinating. And it almost reminds me of those old black and white movies like Outer Limits and stuff like that. It had some really, really scary, crazy kind of storylines to them, even though they were hokey. They were still fun, but there's nothing hokey about this at all. I don't mean to say that, but really interesting descriptions in this poem. And of course, the way Phil reads is really premier. It sets off his poetry just perfect. So good job, Phil.
Awesome comment. Thank you very much. And again, I am going to close down for the night. And I sent a message to Crystal and to WSP and to Laughing Soul, telling them that their poems are moved to tomorrow night. I want to put the link up for my show next week so that you guys can take a peek at what's coming up. The artist is Marcella Bolivar, and the art is quite interesting, and I hope you'll have some fun with that. I'm putting that link up there right now so that you can take a look at the art. And on that note, I'm going to thank my amazing board members, Hatter and AP and Sweet Pea. Wouldn't want to do it without you guys. And thank you for hanging out, David. And I want to say thank you to Stephen and Kay and Angel and Wayne and Lockdown Larks and Laughing Soul and Gerald and WSP and Phil and Crystal. Again, Crystal, WSP, and Laughing Souls. Your poems will be on the show with Sweet Pea tomorrow night. I appreciate you all very much. As usual, the poetry was excellent, and I enjoy getting to hang out with you. And on that note, I'm not even going to play an exit song. I'm just going to say goodnight, gentlemen, and love and respect to you all. And we'll talk soon. Join Sweet Pea tomorrow night at 10. Night, everyone.
Night, Deb.